to be refreshed and encouraged, inspired by all the sharing this morning, inspired to see all the faces here this morning, truly encouraged. This morning we guys, we're going to talk about, you know, just look at what's happening in our word. We're going to talk about trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Man, you got to trust in the Lord. And first scripture we're going to try to go over to Proverbs 3. Let me give you guys a chance to get there. And I'm going to get there and share a little bit. Trust in the Lord. You know, so keep it up with the news with the pandemic that's been going on and things that are happening in the world and you know, that's happening to all of us, to some people more than others. So we know the coronavirus is definitely spreading and it has affected people in many different ways. Basically, a lot of us are responding to it in a different way. Some of us are like, you know what, it's okay. We feel like, man, it's not the biggest deal. There's a lot of people making it. And some people are like, man, you know, you don't understand. This is like the apocalypse. You know, it's like, it's just, you know. And so, and as I said earlier, we have to kind of like be sensitive in the conversation that we have with people. Yeah. You know, people need to feel safe in all conversations. And you too need to feel safe as I may not feel as like freaked out as you about it.
Right.
You know, so I just need to be careful and, be careful with my words and how I come across and everything. But something that I have learned just from, you know, watching a little news and everything, that with the flu, every year that over 200,000 people die from the flu. I didn't really do that. You know, I always visit the flu as like, you know, it's flu season, no big deal, you know, people get sick or whatever. But I never knew that the flu takes such an effect on so many human lives throughout the world. I mean, it's like 200,000 people die from that thing. I'm like, wow, really? This is just the flu. I learned that, you know, with the, you know, there are 2,800 cases of the coronavirus and, right now, just kind of going in certain areas of the U.S. and everything. And they're saying that, there's only 60 people dead. Of course, the way they put it and I look at it, they put it in a sense of like, it's like a mass shooting type thing. So even though the virus is spreading, they say it's going from 2,800 to 15,000, even though it's spreading, but it's like, because they can't get a control on it or a grip on it, it's viewed as like, this is deadly because we really don't have a control on this thing. We're scrambling to try to get something to happen on it. But, you know, 60 have died. So I was kind of looking at, you know, and then just the U.S. Now worldwide is about 15,000 people, I should say, worldwide who have cases, and there's 6,000 dead worldwide in the combinations. And some countries are more worse than others. And so I think about during this time, people are panicking. People are going to Facebook, YouTube, you know, come and get my family. I think Spain is like, got a very bad epidemic. And I think, Italy is like, man, it's like, it's just so bad. There's no restaurants open. There's nothing. And so, you know, I can't even begin to imagine what you're dealing with if you have a dead loved one in the house and we just don't have the services or the staff to meet all their bending needs at one time. But, I'm thinking, man, this is such a critical time for people need to be reminded about trusting in God. Mm-hmm. Even during this time. Yes, it's something that you have never gone through. We have never dealt with. It's something new. And so when you feel like it's something new, you feel like I have no control over this. This is hard to deal with. But we need to help people to be reminded, trust in the Lord. It's going to be okay. As I tell people, say, it's an inconvenience, but it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, during this time, I was sharing earlier with Nora, I think Richard, watching the news, and they had this this black lady. She was on. They was interviewing her. She's a columnist on financials for I think the New York Post or something. And it was asking her advice, professional advice, and everything like that. You know, store shelves being empty, and how was she approached, and how this. It's amazing. She said, you know, I got several kids in college. I got nieces and people who are psychiatrists, doctor, nephew, and everything, you know, and I'm a financial advisor expert and everything, managing, you know, got my 401k, everything set up. She said, but even in all that, you know, my husband has to check me. And I'm just looking at this lab, she said, because I am a worrier. She said, I just worry to death. And she says, so, you know, we went to the store, and so I just started like throwing stuff in the bag. My husband said, what are you doing? No, put that back. We don't need all that. Cut that out. you know, and I'm looking at him and she say, and he's like, you need to, and he started to say the word calm down, and then he changed it to another word because, you know, you say calm down to me, it's like, what you're saying, I'm hysterical. Right. You just say I ain't there. But she said, you know, he's a great balance for her. And he said the one thing he told her about during this time is that, you know, we have to help people to focus on the facts and what's happening and not on their feelings. Because our feelings will make us think like, oh, this is like going, it's just out of control. Our feelings will help us, will cause us to be irrational.
Yeah.
And so what that thought about was, you know, during this time, you know, we need to look at the facts of things and we need to be careful to not let our feelings get out of control. We need to keep them in check. You know, panic happens when people live and lead by their feelings. We've talked about this before. But, you know, you and I know that feelings make bad leaders.
Yep.
They just do. We know that. You know, our feelings play a supporting role in our daily living, but they were not meant to lead. And I think it's shared in a lot of the scriptures that Gloria read this morning and shared, you know. And I thought, man, it's just, you know, God is giving us like, look, here's your orders. Here's how you do things. He never say, go and subdue the earth with all your emotions and all your feelings and you lead like that. He said, no, there's a plan of how to make things work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think trusting in the Lord, it requires us listening to the facts of God, listening to the commandments of God, hearing God's word over what our feelings are telling us. We have to do that. You know, Proverbs 3:5-6, chapter 3, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. I thought, how amazing. He says, trust in him. But he says, with all your heart. It's going to take all of it. You know, our heart can kind of get divided sometimes. But sometimes we want to abandon the strength. We want to leave the road. I don't know, man. I just can't see beyond my head. I can't see beyond what you're doing. But God said, in order to be successful and trust in him, he needs all your heart. All of us on board. And we need to be excited about that. He says, when we learn to give all of ourselves and learn to submit all of ourselves to him, guess what? The path will be straight. It won't be crooked because our feelings will have us all over the place. You know, go to Isaiah chapter 46, verse 4. Trusting the Lord is so important for our spiritual health, for our spiritual well-being, for our mental health. If our soul is out of whack, our mental state will be out of whack.
Right.
And we need for those to be imbalanced. We need what I should say about you. We need for those to have balance.
Was it 46?
Isaiah chapter 46, verse 4. So here, shared in another scripture here with you, Isaiah. You know, the great thing about trusting the Lord, we need to understand this. He says, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he who will sustain you. I made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. What a powerful scripture. God said, even till you get old and all them gray hairs start popping up everywhere, guess what? I got you. God says, I'm the one that made you. So no one knows you better than I.
That's right.
Trusting in the Lord is about remembering who your creator is. Why should I trust in the Lord? Because he says he will sustain you. Look that up. Sustain means to, he will strengthen and he will support you.
That's right.
Man, he says, I will strengthen and support you. So we always hear about all the time, when you're weak, he is strong. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
We hear about footprints in the sand. You know, when you only see one set of footprints, he's carrying you. He's letting you know, I got you. But you need to trust in me. You see, God is your true rescuer. If you trust him, you got to remember that. God is the true rescuer if you trust him. Examples of God being a person who sustains, an example of a God being an individual who rescues if you trust in him. We know about Daniel in the lion's den. You know, it's always man against God, and man tries to pressure God's man to turn against God and trust man.
Right.
It always goes like that. And all God says is trust me and stand your ground and I'll take care of you. Now, We don't have no lion's den that per se with lions actually around here that we know of here over in Mississippi, but we do have things that rattle us and shake us. As a man said, with every man said, sometimes God do things to shake you, you know, to see where you're at, to see how you are, to see what your faith is like. Well, Daniel got thrown in that lion's den. But for some reason, Daniel wasn't worried. Daniel was not worried. Daniel said, you know what? I'm just going to trust in the Lord. God's got this. God made a promise. God told me he would sustain me. He would strengthen me and support me. He would take care of me. He would not forsake me. As far as I know, Daniel came out good on the other side.
Yep.
Well, that was because he trusted the Lord. What about Abraham? Okay, once again, Abraham has a child. Man, this is directly a kind of a test from God. Abraham, I need to know how much you really love me. You know, we really need to go and settle this and get this straight. How deeply do you feel about me? The test was to take his son Isaac up on the mountain. You're going to make a sacrifice. You take that long, grueling walk with that in your mind. You see, God didn't hide that from the end. I mean, to the end. He didn't hide that to the end. From the very beginning, he let Abraham know this is what's going down. Take this long, grueling walk up the mountain. I need you to give your son to me. God wanted to see where Abraham's heart was at, where his love was at. He wanted to know, are you really committed to me, Abraham? Do you really trust me? Do you love me enough to know that I have you? Mm-hmm. Is there anybody, anything above me? You got to think about it. Kids are important.
Yep.
God's never going to test you with nothing easy, although we wish he would. And why can't you make it something easy? God, pass that test. No, God said, I need to really put something. I need to test you with something in your life that I know you love dearly. For Abraham, it was Isaac. But guess what? That turned out pretty good.
Yep.
Because Abraham showed that he was willing to withhold nothing. Nothing. None of himself, not even family members, from his commitment to God. I think about Joseph the dreamer.
Yep. Wow.
That guy been through some things. Mm-hmm. I was talking to a guy the other night, Fabian Wilson. We were talking, he was sharing about the things that he'd been through and his wife. She's like 50-something, and she just went for an annual checkup, and she found out she had cancer on the stomach and everything. And I met somebody with cancer on the stomach, but it was too late, and doctors wouldn't even touch her. They wouldn't even touch her because it was so bad, and she ended up passing away. But, since she caught it just in time, they had to do surgery, but she can't eat regular food, draw regular food like us no more, because stomach won't stand for it. So she does. She had to do shakes and stuff, and small amounts of food, you know. And he was just sharing about, you know, man, how this has been hard on her. And he was sharing about how, you know, he's had certain things have been hard on him and everything. And he's like, man, I said, yeah. He said, man, last year was hard on us. I said, yeah. So let me tell you about my year. And I got to tell him about my year, me and my wife. And we're in front of my car in the yard. He was like, wow, I thought I had it bad, you know. Yeah. I was like, yeah. I said, man, I said, but guess what? I met people had it worse than me. I'm thinking I had it bad. It made worse than me. But I say that to say Joseph the dreamer had it bad.
Yep.
But man, through this process, he learned to trust in God.
Amen.
Through this process, while trusting in God, he learned to endure and deal with the betrayal of his brothers. When they threw him down a well, then they took him out, then they sold him.
Yep.
Man, that'll make you hate family in a minute. That'll make you be like, I'm going to get you. Mm-hmm. And you and me and family, I'm going to fight you. Not only did he do that, he got put in another position. You think about how we are. We think, man, okay, I'm trusting in the Lord. Things are getting a little better. I'm in a prominent position in a captain's house who name has to be Potiphar. But now I got to deal with his wife who's unfaithful.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And because I wouldn't go sleep with her and go to bed with her, she lied on me. Now I'm back in prison. What I done did, God? I've been faithful. I did the right thing. Mm-hmm. I did the right thing. I think about the social fix your eyes on me. Even when it's not fair, well, God, it's just not fair. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I want to fix my eyes on you no more. Mm-hmm. We feel like that. Mm-hmm. But damn, what Joseph did? Joseph like, okay, I'm in prison. Hey, he meets two guys in prison. Hey, the king calls them back up. Cupbearer and the banker. He said, look, when you go before the king, please don't forgive me. If I mentioned, don't put a good word in for me. I'm tired of being locked up. I'm tired of being out here eating all this hard food. I'm tired of being in this dungeon den. Man, the facilities are horrible down here. Can you not forgive me? Mm-hmm. But even through that for 2 years, he was forgotten. He still trusted in the Lord.
Yep.
And of course, that turned out well for him. Because see, the Lord timing was different than Joseph's timing.
Yep.
Joseph was like, look, you won't forgive me? Because I can see Joseph. Look, don't forgive me. All right, he's probably telling the guy right now, I know he only been going about 2 minutes, but right now I know he put a good word in for me. The guy we got just for 2 years, but it's by God's design. God said, look, now's the time. Now's the time. You know, trust is not just said, it is actually lived. And it is an example for others when you live it out. Do you know that? Like any other day, God requires that you trust him and know that he will sustain you and rescue you. But do you believe that? Do you believe that God will sustain you and rescue you? We've got to learn to trust in the Lord and know that he will take care of us. Matthew 6. Go over to Matthew 6. Trust in the Lord requires us to believe that the Lord will sustain you and rescue
us. That's right.
Matthew 6. Verse 19. Some part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is, he's definitely doing a lot of teaching here. And in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermins destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermins do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Wow. Man, why do I need to trust in the Lord? Why do I need to trust in because God's plan is better than man's plan. You know, I think about when you don't trust in the Lord, we as people can look like everybody else around here. It's a little bit in us. We can panic. I got to get to the store. I got to do whatever it takes. Well, these lines are ridiculously long. I'm not going to stand this line. But I need product. Like I was standing there. I need tissue. I need this. And guess what? I need to hoard as much as I can and stock up as much as I can. I need to put it all in there for some reason. Somebody was saying people are getting grapes, getting stuff. I'm like, you know, that stuff will last long. And I do a lot of various grapes, so I know. But I eat a lot of various grapes every day in a bag. I take grapes and I chop up apples and I take some crackers and that's my snack through the day. I know you need that. Berries, you got to eat them on a regular, sometimes twice a day. So you got to have a plan for them in the morning and you got to have a plan for them in the evening. I make berry shortcakes with them. I make berry shortcake with them. I sometimes put berries on a plate, a little Cool Whip, and I put a little syrup on them. That's it. I make smoothies in the morning. Sometimes I put them on the side with my breakfast. I have some pancakes or something, just a plate full of berries or mince them, chop them up. Berries don't last long. You got to get them. So people buying them and everything, they just spoiling and they go and they start growing. If you mess around, they start growing stuff on them. You can be like, what's going on? You don't want to touch them. Storing up paper and all that stuff and everything can, because I do understand that, you know, you want to be prepared. But you know, to at one time just go crazy and say, man, I'm just going to store it all up because I think it's going to last forever. It's not. It's not. And, just depending on where you live at, things can't get into them. Guess what? Depending on how bad this gets, if it got worse, a thief will try to break in your home if you know you got something that he needs. They will do that. God has entrusted him and don't put your hope in these things that he has allowed us to create or to take hold of.
That's right.
Yes, we do need food. Yes, we do need certain items. But not so much so that you're going to let it run you crazy. Right. Right. Not so much so it's going to make you be out of character.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Trust in the Lord that your character be a representation of who you are. You are God's child.
Right.
God says not to be like the non-believers. The non-believers, all they believe in is what I can attain and what I can protect at any cost necessary. I was walking through Kroger's. I had got some tissue. I said, let me get some tissue. And I got, there was two packs that were, you know, of course, like any other chef, I'm like, ain't nothing on here. So I got two packs that were left, two small angels on back. And I'm walking past an elderly lady and she had her gloves on, protected and everything, walking. And she said, where'd you get that from? I said, down there, it's the last two. She said, huh? I said, you need one? It's gonna be okay. She said, no, it's okay. I said, you sure? It was okay. So she went by. But my thing was like, I can give her one of these if you want one. You know, yes, a twist, you know, it's a thing, 12 pack, but they make it bigger and they double 24. So I can give her one. It's okay. You do one, but she said no. And I don't know if it was pride. She felt like, no, I didn't want to take her in there. I'm like, lady, take one. It's gonna be a big deal.
That's right.
But you know what? Cause I'm like, you know, God says, don't store. God said, you get what you need.
Yeah.
You know, my household, yeah, we need a 2-pack, but we can do good with one. Mm. You know what I'm saying? But your focus has to be right in order to say, I'm willing to give it to somebody else who may need something.
That's right.
Your heart has to be in the right place. Mm-hmm. And the only way that your focus and your heart can be in the right place is because you trust in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Like, right. God provided this today. I happen to get the last two. Guess what? He may provide the last two in another store for me when I need it.
That's right. Amen.
Got to trust in the Lord.
That is true.
Don't store treasure here on the earth thinking like, this is salvation for me, for it is not. Trusting in the Lord is what is salvation for you.
That's right.
Never forget that. I think about when it talks about don't store for treasure in your heart. I think about it as a song that we sing. I'm like, man, I find myself singing sometimes. But it says, this world, you know, it's not my home. Mm-hmm. Just passing through.
That's right.
If heaven's not my home, Lord, what will I do? Like, oh man. He says, but you know what? The angels, they beckon you and I from heaven's open door. And as a reminder, they want us to know, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. That's why you need to trust in the Lord. Mm-hmm. We're just passing through. We're here for a time. It goes back to what Gloria said. We're here to subdue what we can subdue. And after we've done that, it's time to move on. I was talking to my mom the other day. I said, Mom, she asked me how you feel about it. I said, you know what, Mom? Long ago, and I've come to accept it, and I've grown, and God's taught me, and I've learned. And sometimes you read things, but it don't register. But as you get older and wiser, you learn to accept it because you're trusting the Lord, and you understand there's nothing to worry about because you know what you're expecting to see on the other side and who you're expecting to meet on the other side. I said, Mom, you know what? We all have an expiration date.
Yep.
Nobody wants to expire now. And as I was saying with Richard Nora earlier, like, sir, my mom, of course we would like to dictate how we would like to go.
Yeah.
You know, Lord, can you at least give me that piece of control? And I said, no, you know, you go when you go.
Yep.
See you when you get here. Mm-hmm. But I said, because I'm at peace with about, man, I know we have an expiration date. I know what God's plan is. And I know that if I make every effort to trust the Lord and do everything I can do to obey his commands and stick close to Jesus, I'm going to be all right.
Yep.
I'm at peace. I'm at peace. Let's not store treasures in this treasures on this earth. Whether it be food, material things, whether it be our own self-confidence or whatever it is, let's not find confidence in this world, but let's put our confidence in God. Mm-hmm. Going on down to Matthew 6:25, familiar scripture we know. Read it sometime, maybe don't read it a lot, but it says in verse 25, it says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Man, God has given us examples. God said, well, look at the birds. They do not sow. He said, they don't work at all to get their food. He said, look, he said, they don't sow or reap or store in barns. You have to grab hold of that thought process. They don't. They don't. They just fly. Hey, what's provided? All right, we'll take that and go eat. He said, they don't do none of that. He says, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. That's a reminder why to trust in the Lord. Says, but I make sure they stay well fed. He says, are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worried, add a single hour to your life? Mm-hmm. Nah, but you can take a couple of hours off.
Yep.
You can take a couple of hours off. God says, wow, are you not more valuable than the birds? Goes back to what Gloria just said. You have control of all the animals and the beasts. It just goes back. God's like, it's a reminder. Man, you are more valuable than them. So if I will provide for them, what makes you think I won't provide for you? Mm-hmm. Why should I trust in the Lord? Because he will provide for me. He always has and he always will. Verse 28, he says, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. You have to understand the analogy here God is telling you. God is saying Solomon had a lot of money. He had everything at his disposal. He had all the finest things that were known to man. But he did not look as good as one of these flowers here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. He says what he had and how well he looked couldn't measure to one of these flowers. Couldn't stand next to it. That's amazing. He says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and guess what, is gone tomorrow, thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? He says, for the pagans, non-believers, run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But as for you and I, we need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to us as well.
Yep.
Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own.
Yep.
Why should I trust the Lord? Because he will provide. He will provide. He lets you know the birds, they're taken care of. The flowers, they look good. Let the pagans run out all their stuff. Let them consume their stuff with that panic stuff. You focus on seeking God's righteousness in his kingdom. Trust the Lord. And he says, why are you doing that? Know that I'm already providing for you. I got something waiting for you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? On that particular day when I went to Kroger, just happened to be two tissues sitting at the bottom. Mm-hmm. There were people walking up and down the aisle. I said, nobody's getting these. Well, I get them. Mm-hmm. Lady came by. It was an opportunity. I don't know how bad she really needed them, but she stopped and asked me. But God presented the opportunity. If she wanted it, I said, I can give you one. She said, no. God always found a way to provide.
Yes.
Whether it's through another individual or whether it's through an outlet store or whatever, God found a way to provide for people in need.
That is true.
Final scripture, guys, close
now.
Psalms 8. Psalms 8. Trust in the Lord, not in your own ability, not in your own strength. Trust in the Lord. Psalms 8. David is a man who went through a lot in life. Mm-hmm. And when you go through a lot, you have a lot to write about. Mm-hmm. A lot to say.
Yep.
I know these songs, you know, these singers think they have a lot to say about what's happening in their life, but man, if David was alive, boy, he'd be a hit record.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, David would be a hit record because he's singing a lot of woe me, boy. That boy be a number one hit. Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley, okay, Whitney Houston, they couldn't hold a candle to this guy.
Yep.
This guy sung his woes a lot. Sung his woes a lot. He had a lot to say. But what the Lord inspired him to say and allowed him to put out there is inspiration to us. Psalms 8, verse 1 says, wow, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies. To silence the foe and the avenger. He says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, not his hands. He's talking about the work of his fingers. Mm. The moon and the stars. We're talking about the work of his fingers, the moon and the stars. He says, which you have set in place. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. Mm-hmm. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. Wow. Mm-hmm. You put everything under their feet. All flocks and herds and the animals of the wild. The birds in the sky and the fish in the sea. All that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Amen.
A long time ago, we was always talking, Richard talks about talking, you know, hey, what's your message going to be about? What kind of line things up? And long ago, the Holy Spirit just said, I like, look, no. You just don't need to be about the cross, reflect on Jesus. You do what you're going to do. I'm not going to line my message with And I'm always amazed to see it, how God lines the messages up through our service. It happens with all of you guys. Like, It's great to see the Holy Spirit at work.
Yes.
I think about this whole message. It might as well be communion extended. That's it. What's that? Communion, what, 2.0 or something? 2.1? But man, are you not amazed? If you ever wonder, why should I trust the Lord? He said he took his fingers and put the moon and stars in place.
Yep.
Man, who am I that God should even be mindful of me? Because I know this earth, they consider there's a star, as a planet. It's much bigger than me. I'm a little peon down here somewhere. Oh no. But he speaks about God's glory. He says, man, how majestic is your name? Let's talk about who you are and how great you are. Why should I trust in the Lord?
Yep.
Because he put me in control of a lot of things.
Yep.
God said, these are all my creation. These are the things that I created. But guess what? I'm going to put you over it.
Yep.
I'm going to put you in charge. God says, I let these little human beings be created to you. And guess who I'm going to put in charge? You over other little human beings. Man, that's so. He says, even though little Lord angels, he crowned them with glory and honor. Wow. Made you rulers over everything. He says, I say to the creation, be reminded that you have a creator who is greater than any pandemic, man-made or not.
Yep.
Remember that. I say to the creation, be reminded that you have a creator who is greater than any pandemic, man-made or not.
Yep.
Trust in him who is our beginning and our ending.
Yep.
Like us, long before Corona's ever come around, God was already here.
Yep.
Amen. Yes.
As long as this gone, God's still going to be doing his thing.
Yep. That's
right. Trust in him who created all things. That's right. He says even the moons and the stars are his creation. You know, guys, as we go today back into our world, and it's great to have this time together because it encourages us. It's meant to fire us up. It's meant to deepen our conviction. It's meant to help us to stay focused and not get caught up in the panic, the wave, the hysteria. But we are the light of our community.
Yes.
And you know what? Trust for us is about living it out. We can say it. Ain't nothing wrong with saying it. You need to trust in the Lord. But it's about living it out. People need to see how you're doing. My neighbor, he goes to work as usual. He cuts his grass. And I know he's got a lot of issues going over there, but he's like, he said, man, and he, you know, it's amazing that certain people who you know, you feel like, or you know that their signs that show like, damn, they really close to the Lord like that. But they can talk a good thing when it comes to putting words in the Lord in certain words. He said, man, people just need to go to church and trust God. That's it. And I know he's going on, you know, he drinks and smokes all that stuff, but he's already cutting his grass. Like, I'm not worried. Like, this guy's not even worried. Cutting his grass, doesn't he? My other neighbor down the road, I was like cutting my tree up front, me and my boys, and he was cutting his tree down the road. Hey, man, how you doing? I'm introducing myself. And not worried.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, life is good. It's good to be a good neighbor. He says, good to know your neighbors. I says, good to know you too.
Mm-hmm.
Let trust be something that we live out. When people ask, why are you at peace? It's because I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord. You know, as you guys go forward, as an example, as a person of peace, let it be a reminder to people that you're able to do that because you trust in him,
right?
Who is the creator of all things, who's always been there in the beginning, and he'll be there in the end, who will make sure that we will not go without. He will always provide. And when people look and say, man, how can you just be so calm and be so peaceful and not all in hysterical? Remind them of that famous saying. It's a new, I guess it's a new saying. God is in control.
Yep.
Remind them of that. Guys, let's be that example. Let's live that life. And to our God, let's always give glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.